Tonight we're going to begin a journey into, I believe, the greatest of treasures that the Word of God gives us. It's all treasure, we know that, but I believe that we live in a time, brothers and sisters, that the mother lode is in the offering. And I just pray we awaken to it. That our time has not come yet. This isn't our time. But this is the time of the greatest value because we're receiving the rewards. And by the grace of God, the greatest reward is in the balance, and that's to win Him. To win Him. To make Him my own. To win Christ Jesus. That's what's offered to us. And in that, brothers and sisters, we are going to begin a study the Lord's put upon my heart for really many, many weeks. Is the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to Ephesus. And I praise God that this letter is so sweetly familiar to us. Amen? Amen. I know through the years that, believe it or not, there's been grumblings when the word or the book of Ephesus or Ephesians was going to be preached. Oh, we've gone through that. God help us. Oh, God help us. And as the Holy Spirit led Peter to say three different times, brothers and sisters, wherefore I will not be negligent to put to you always. Always. I want you to know that. By His grace, it will be always. Not about me, but about Christ in me. It will be always. Whether there's thousands, whether there's one, always. In remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and I thank God that you know them. I mean, I thrill that you know them. I'm looking at faces that know this and that know this truth. And this gospel, that it's alive, that it's real. And be established in the present truth. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. How often I speak to brothers and sisters in Christ, oh, I just need to be inspired in the Lord. Well, this is it. This is the only way it's going to happen. This is the only way it's going to be real. I don't want to give you a feeling. By the grace of God, I want your faith increased. By the grace of God, I want you to be pleasing to Him. By the grace of God, I want you to not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ being written in your life. Not just something that I can quote up here. Not just something that I can say. But that Christ liveth in me. That it is my life. Not how much I know. And yes, we grow in grace and knowledge. Don't misunderstand this. But how much you live. How abundant is the life of Christ in you. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease. And I don't know if God will take me that way or not. I don't really give it any thought. How about you? I'm just looking for Jesus to come. That's what He told me to do. I'm not preparing to die. He that believeth in Him shall never die. Never die. I'm not going to face that death. But I've been instructed to look for Him. And He strummed my heart to love His appearing. Praise God. A day's never wasted when it's spent loving His appearing. Thank you, Jesus. We have something to be thankful about. The greatest thing. To have these things always in remembrance. God help us not to neglect so great salvation. What do you think? Huh? Amen. Amen. So great salvation. And that is so underscored I could never even tell you. So great salvation. You talk about a build up, brothers and sisters. I could never build this up. It is what it is. And we're not even going to see a shadow of it. I'm going to tell you till He comes. But what the Lord has specifically put upon my heart is to feast upon it, to remember, to rejoice, to be stirred about is doctrine. is doctrine. How often I hear, and I'm telling you from God's precious people, hardly a week goes by. We don't want to talk about doctrine. We don't want to address that. That's not what the people want. Well, sure, the Bible told you that's not what the people would want. And how exciting it's not what the people would want at the end time, right before He's ready to appear. Don't sleep in the night. This is something we need to be yearning for. God is encouraging us. It's a requirement. It's a mark. Praise God. That's who she is. She glories in that truth. She glories in that doctrine. It is her. It is her life. But I'm telling you, I speak with these people, and whether it's out of ignorance or whether it's out of intention, avoiding doctrine. And would rather teach or preach unity or application. How many times do I hear that? Application, application. Let me tell you something. You fall in love with the truth, He'll apply it all over your life. It'll just happen. It'll be. That's what the grace of God does. You couldn't do it anyways. 1 Timothy 4:3. Go ahead and turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Oh. No, that's not it. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, isn't it? Yeah. That 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 is a good one too. Don't you think it's not? I'm just making sure you're awake before we start. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What do you think? We here? Yeah, we are here. Praise God we're here. Sure, it's sad. But when you see these things start to happen, look up. Look up. But God help us if it happens to us. Amen. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that goes for grace meetings. It does. Teaching that avoids the bridal finishing. Huh? Yeah. Often I hear, well, it's a grace meeting. And I say, thank you, Jesus. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. How about you? Amen. But when Paul said, I withheld nothing from you, I kept back not a thing. Night and day I wept over you to give you this. How could we not? When we see so great salvation, how could we not? God, help us not to draw back in unbelief, brothers and sisters. We're just about home. We're just about there. Having done all, I think we're at that phrase. Stand. Stand in it. Whatever it takes, just stand in it. And however it takes, it's going to be love. It's got to be love. It's the love that doesn't let me go. That's the only reason you're ever going to stand in the first place. And it's the only reason you're ever going to continue to stand is because you have a vision of the love of God for you. His desire is toward me. Thanks be to God that I love Him, but I know that He's crazy about me. I love to be loved. I do. I love that you love me. I'm thrilled that my brothers and sisters in Christ love me. And I know it's the love of God. But I'm thankful that He loves me. And I see it. And I see that more and more. And that's what draws me. And the way that we see it more and more, brothers and sisters, is the Word. He speaks to us, even in quiet times. It's loud. It might be a still small voice, but it's deep. And it penetrates. Lord, you have me here. You're dealing with me. He's dealing with you and you and you and you. So sweetly, let Him speak. Let him just do it. Amen. 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 But you see, when you avoid the bridal teaching, though, brothers and sisters, what happens is it doesn't just stop there. We're talking about the letter to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus had a warning in Revelation. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. And there's something about Ephesus, the church there, that I'm going to tell you something. It's not a stopping ground. Neutral you cannot be. Ephesus is the crossroad. And it is. It's the crossroad. And it's our crossroad. It's going to spring me on to Philly. Amen. Or I'm going to draw back. And I'm going to Pergamos. And God knows where from there. Amen. Yeah, neutral you cannot be. When somebody proposes to you in this life, you're either going to say yes or no. You can hem and haw for a while, and I've seen them wait for years, but eventually it stops. And it does. Now, his love never fades, but you're in season now. And we're in season right now. And tonight is a very important night. Matter of fact, tonight's the most important night you've ever had. Do you know that? It wasn't last week. It wasn't when you gave your heart to the Lord. Tonight is the most important night that you have. And if he gives you tomorrow morning, it's the most important morning you'll ever have. It's the moment to be looking and loving his appearing. Amen. Amen. This is serious. I hope you know. This is vitally serious. I'll tell you what, I challenge people to have as good a time in life as I have. I am so thankful. I enjoy life. I am thrilled with life. The Jesus life makes everything better. Makes colors brighter. Makes the air sweeter. Everything. Everything. And oh, what it's going to be there. Pray for me. I don't know if we're going to get through it. But I'm going to tell you something. I know churches that hold fast the bridal teaching. And it's precious. And it's wonderful. And that's why we pray for the vessels that stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. That when they receive blows and attacks from the enemy, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Are we looking at the action? Are we looking at what that was done? Are we looking at the faith and love of the truth? Come on. David was the chosen vessel. And yet lifetimes were spent trying to tear him down. Instead of understanding, oh, what a treasure. This man is after the very heart of God. Amen. That's how important this moment is. That's how important this time is. That's how important vessels are that truly are yielding and loving the appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as bridegroom. It's rare. It's scarce. I don't care if they're eloquent speakers. I don't care if they're the most dynamic people that you have ever seen. What I care is what God cares about. Does he have a heart? Does she have a heart for the doctrine? You know? And that's what I rejoice in. That's what draws me to you and you to me is the love of the truth. It's the love of the truth. That's how come we can settle down as a meeting here and we can dwell together as in a marriage. And I think nothing odd of that. I think nothing strange. Because it's just what it is when you have a headship in Christ. Amen? Amen. That's his word. But I'm going to tell you, after that church, or after the churches that preach a bridal message, think about this. The fall off to the next level of glory. How far did it go? How close is it? It's not even close enough for hand grenades, pretty much. Do you see what I'm getting at here? The treasure in earthen vessels that God wants to put there. And when you have it, my goodness, we should rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And it should be always. God help us. This is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. This is the joy that is set before us. That, praise God, the light affliction which is but for a moment. It's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. My goodness. How could we sit still tonight? Huh? Really? How could we sit still knowing what we know? But more importantly, are we living what we know? Praise God. And see, if you don't believe me, let's go ahead and read the fourth verse there in Timothy. See, you thought this was about Ephesians, but it really is. I want you to know. So the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It grieves my heart to see that, but at the same time, His Word proves true. Period. You cannot get away from the Word of God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leaven begats leaven. But I'm here to tell you, glory begats glory. Isn't that awesome? His grace is sufficient. He's made all grace abound toward you. Toward you. Every bit. Nothing lacking. You see it because a vision that He's put in your heart, He'll deliver it. Yield to Him. He'll give it to you. It might not be at this moment. It might be 40 years. I don't know. But I know He told you, wait. And wait upon the Lord. Because you know what? His promises are true. He delivers every time. He does not fail. He is more for you to succeed than you could ever be. I want to love the Lord more. He wants you to love the Lord more than you could even imagine you want to love the Lord. I want more faith. He wants you to have more faith than you could ever imagine. Now this is the God that is there to deliver it to you. Do you think that you can trust Him for that? Do you think that you can wait upon Him? When He said that He wants you to, you read the Word of God, He wants you to be His masterpiece. And nothing less, nothing short. You! If you'll let Him, do you think that He'll do it? Amen. No doubt. There's no doubt. This is His plan. This is His purpose. This is what the Godhead got together beginning. As we smile. And said, God the Son, you're going to have a wife. And this is the plan. He's going to have a wife. And He wants it to be you. He wants it to be you more than even you want it to be you. He does. And that's why she doesn't stress. Do you know what I'm saying? She's not anxious about it, is she? Huh? Oh, she's excited. Huh? She's made herself ready. But she understands in that readying, it was all His work. It was all His grace. Thank God I get up every morning and I'm just telling you, Lord, I don't know how to do this today. And I really don't. But I know You do. And I know You're the working power in my life. Matter of fact, it's the power of Your might. The same power that brought you through all of that suffering, all of that rejection, and most importantly, the same power that put you upon that cross and became sin for did it willingly and joyfully. And all the way along, as the enemy tried to attack, and as those ones that were to take him bowed before him, he had to get him up again to say, take me. And then upon the cross, as he was there, he had to give up the ghost. He had to will himself to die, because they couldn't do it. And that same power. Now I'm telling you now, do you think he can get it done? I'm seeing something. I really am. Like I've never seen it before. That hope of glory. It's not a what if. It's not a hope that we're thinking hope. It's just a win. Huh? Okay. Oh, I can see some excited faces. Praise God. But it's doctrine. Doctrine. I don't often count things in the Bible. I really don't. I appreciate the ones that have been called to do that in different ways. And when I say about numbers, and I appreciate numbers in the Bible, but the Lord so specifically, Paul's last writings, they were so personal to Timothy and Titus. And that word doctrine, he put it across my heart. And I just wanted to see how many times the word doctrine was used in those three little letters. 16 times. The number 8, which is the bride, and the number 2, which is sufficient witness. And I just thought, how glorious, Lord. How perfectly fitting that is. Doctrine. Doctrine. Without sufficient witness in doctrine, the evidence in our lives, without the remembrance of it, brothers and sisters, it's not going to happen. It's not. It's fresh. It's rejoicing. Praise God. It's who we are in Him. Now, 1 Timothy 1:3 tells us, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What do you think of that? But I really was taken to this little word, that thou mightest charge some. Well, praise be to God. You know that you're the sum right now. You're the sum right now. I mean, I'm looking at the sum right now. As God was writing this across my heart to bring out, to think that we're in the presence of the sum. There were a lot of wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ at Ephesus. There were many, if you read that, there were so many in Asia that were giving their hearts to God because of Paul's ministry, the encouragement, the fervent love that was going out. It was still the Holy Spirit that was doing it. But here he is to the sum. Wasn't to all. It was there for all. But it was specifically for the sum. And here we are with the sum today. So what is he telling us? Stay with it. Stay with it. Abide. Stay with the stuff. We're living in the time of the greatest miracle there's ever been. How many times, if I could only have a miracle. Oh, I need a miracle. Oh my goodness, if you just sit and be still in the miracle that's going on. Christ is making his masterpiece right now. And it's so wonderful, the Holy Spirit is visiting. Visiting. Is he visiting you? Oh, amen. Amen he is. Getting her ready. All of the things. How wonderful. A guy like me, like you, a lady like you. Huh? Amen. Amen. Knowing what we are without Him, but praise God, knowing what we are in Him. But let us not depart from it. You've got it. You've got it. And write it out, praise God, to Son glory. And here is what he gave to Paul. This is what we're going to venture into if the Lord tarry. Romans 2:16. Go ahead and turn there. I pray you get the stirring that you need. I pray I get the stirring that I need to be brought into the remembrance of this. Timothy, stir up the gift. This is the greatest gift. And here's what it is. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And you live in the time of Paul's gospel. You live in the time of the message going forth of Paul's gospel. Turn over to chapter 16, verse 25. And read this. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And you wanted to see a Red Sea part. Shame on you. Huh? Oh, if I could have just seen Goliath fall down, I know I would have had more faith. Are you thankful you live right now? Are you thankful of who you are in Jesus Christ? God help you. I really... Brothers and sisters, that you wouldn't trade places with anybody. With anyone. I follow Paul as he followed Christ. I don't want to be Paul. I follow him as he followed Christ. I want to be Jesse. I want to be the godly man that he's made me. Do you see? And that's the most precious vessel that I could ever be. Is to be who I am in Christ. That's who He wants you to be. Is who you are in Christ Jesus. He made you exactly who you needed to be. Exactly. Huh? He saw you in ages past. Everything about you. All those things you wish you could have changed. I wish I was taller, shorter, thinner, you know, I don't know, had more hair. God help us to love who we are in Christ. Yeah. To understand that it had to be that way. All these messages the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'm so thankful to Jesus. I see His perfect line. And as I was telling my brother last night at dinner, I said, you know, John, I said, it's so wonderful to see the Lord do things in your life. You know, it's fine to have accomplishments. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful to complete something or to have success at something or whatever it is. But when the Lord allows you to do something that you could never, ever do, that you knew that you were not that man or that woman that could have ever received that, there's nothing more precious. Because you know that it was God. It couldn't have been anything else. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I'm living that life. And he's causing us to live that life. And how precious that life is. You talk about supernatural. You talk about finally taking your seat where you've already been seated in the heavens in Christ. I sit there and I say, Lord, I've been here all the time and I'm seeing this. And it gets more clear. And more exact and more real. To the point where the average person thinks you are crazy. And you know what? I realize I'm getting somewhere with the Lord. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? But I'm alive and living more than it's ever been. Amen. 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 This is the benchmark, brothers and sisters. This is the gospel, the doctrine, the Holy Spirit ingredients to grow up into the mature sons of God. This is it. This is so exciting. I was trying to explain to my boys, and I appreciate their honesty with me. Daddy, we're just so different. It hurts. Because I don't know if the Lord, Terry, what they're going to face. But I know the enemy's going to be after them. And I know the enemy's going to be after you too. He's going to fight you fiercely. He's going to have you despairing of your own life. He's going to have you at times thinking, oh my goodness, why did I go this way? But in faith, you'll say, oh, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I'm a warrior for Christ's sake. I'm thankful to God that I'm enduring the hardness as a good soldier. Huh? There weren't many mighty men. But I'm going to tell you, they didn't want to come up against them. Because when they did, they were dead. They were cut to pieces. It wasn't even a match. And I could see the twinkle in my boy's eyes, getting the picture of this is the neatest, coolest, greatest thing you could ever be placed in. There's few anymore. And our day is coming. And all He's asked you to do by the grace of God is fight. Fight to the last breath. Really fight. Come on now. Really, we're fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not beating the air. I'm not even beating the Bible. I told another man that I met earlier this week. He said, oh, you're going to force the Bible on me, are you? I said, I wouldn't insult God like that any day of the week. I said, it's a privilege. And if you're a fool enough to turn from it, go your way. He's offering you to be happy in Jesus because you're happy in nothing. Zip. Nada. You can think that you're going to go find it somewhere, but how many times have you opened the empty box? Huh? And that's the truth. I got a cup and it's full and running over. And it's running over and over and over. And every time I take that cup and I drink, it gets sweeter every time. I don't know how He does it. I really don't. But it gets more amazing. It gets more mighty. It gets more flavorful. Every single time. Yeah. That's just what He does. But this is the benchmark, brothers and sisters. I got to hurry along. I never knew the introduction could be so long, huh? I pray you're enjoying it. I know He is. And that's all that counts. That's all that counts. You know, I don't know what people go to church for. I really don't want to know, probably most of the time. You want entertainment? Go buy a ticket to a good entertainer. Really, go do it. You know? Really, go do it. Go for it. But when you go to church, go to hear the Word of God. Go to hear the Word preached in sincerity, in truth, in love. I don't want you wasting your time. Just don't do it. But this was the benchmark that was given to Paul, brothers and sisters. This is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He so sweetly said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Yeah, they which run in a race run all. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. We'll cut to the chase that I may win Him. That I may win Christ. That's what it's about. Now, what was Paul talking about there? What was going to be won? Salvation? Nope. Freely given, praise God. So what are you fighting to win? Amen. I see a hand in marriage. How about you? Battling. Praise God, I look at my wedding ring every single day. How about you? By the grace of God, I'm holding that fast which thou hast, that no man take my crown. Someday he's going to put it right on my head. I said, oh son, thank you. Thank you. And here's my son's hand in marriage. Do you see that picture? Do you live that scene? I pray we do. It's real. It's real. So where does all this lead? Where does all this culminate? What do you think? Just as Romans is the hub of by faith through grace, Ephesians is the hub for crown glory through Paul's gospel of grace. Huh? Crown glory. Amen. See, we've read, we saw, you're either going to be one of two places in heaven. You're going to be beholding the glory. Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. Or you can be in the glory. What do you think? Crown glory with Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. The word Ephesians, brothers and sisters, as we get into this study, I know most of you know this. The word means fully purposed. See, there's nothing lacking here. Nothing lacking. I always love Brother Copley as he always says, she's perfectly symmetrical. I mean, she has got it going on, as they would say. She is just magnificent. As Esther did to that king. He was basically speechless. He was saying, honey, whatever you want is yours. It's just yours. Huh? I might step on some toes. I was talking to a brother and he helps all these different ones. And they're getting married and all the prenups. Oh, well, he's got a lot. Aren't you thankful that the one that wants to marry you never asked for a prenup? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? He's not holding back a thing. It's all mine. It's all mine. And he's got it all. And you talk about a pauper. You talk about that one that didn't have anything to bring. I didn't even have anything to wear. And he's even got that covered, doesn't he? The righteousness of saints. Oh, she's beautiful. Fully purposed, nothing deterring, attention fixed, nothing wavering, fully persuaded, completely assured, absolutely confident. Now, pick up your head. Come on. This is all by grace. This is all by grace. Huh? It's right there. I appreciated the sister. You going boldly to the throne of grace tonight? You getting in that room? You see your name on that stuff? Fully assured? Oh, had sister so-and-so on there, right? I'll just use my name. I don't want to embarrass him. See, Brother Jesse, there's my fully assured. Huh? Absolutely confident in him. Not in me. This is his. This is his. See, if it was mine, it wouldn't be in there in the first place. Amen. Because that nothing... Nothing of man is going to be in there. But everything eternal is going to be in there. That's going to work and work perfectly. So that's going to be there for us, brothers and sisters. But the eternal purpose of the Godhead. Christ Jesus is going to have a bride. Ephesians 3:8. I'm not skipping over the other parts. Unto me, Brother Paul saying this. Who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we'll finish out the verse, but think of that, unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, to fellowship in it. That means to enter in jointly, joint heirs, man and wife time. Got to enter in. which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That word in the Greek is only used two times in the Word of God. The other time it's in Romans 11:33. All right? And in Romans 11:33, the phrase is, the ways past finding out. Does that just not excite you? Does that not just take you back to Corinthians where he said, now eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. But the Spirit, huh? Paul was given the vision message of the unsearchable riches of Christ. The ways past finding out. That doctrine is made evident to us. If you want it. If you want it, it's there. Yea, the deep things. Huh? I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for me. But I think about Moses, knowing the ways of God. Okay? See, he took what God had for him in the Old Testament. The full overcomer. He took everything that he could have from God. Lord, it is you. But the much the more gospel is what we have. The unsearchable riches. Moses couldn't get into that because it only came through Brother Paul. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? Now, don't get distressed in here. Well, poor Moses. No, I don't think about poor Moses. See, before everything, the foundations of the world, God knew that vessel. What a mighty vessel. But he placed him at the perfect time and the perfect place to receive the perfection that God had for that vessel. If he was placed anywhere else, it wouldn't have been the same for him. Do you understand that? Now, how much the more God has given to you? Do you understand? I mean, this, you talk about a pep talk to somebody. I would never even remotely go there. This is the Word of God talk to you. I just by the grace of God for us to see this. And to come into a reality and, you know, the light went on of what God has invited us into. My goodness. Beyond Hebrews Hall of Faith fame. Beyond that. Beyond it. Of where God has set you, if you will take it. I hear commentary so many times on Ephesians, brothers and sisters. And I've heard it pretty close. Well, Paul wrote it to promote unity in the church between the Jew and the Gentile. Oh my goodness. And all I can say to that is, brothers and sisters, we must go on because the foundation has already been laid. What do you think? Huh? Let it be laid and go on. That is no mystery. We have evidence in the Old Testament that Godhead was never a respecter of person. Amen? Amen. There are Rahabs all over the Old Testament. What I'm talking about there is that it wasn't just for the Jew. God would open that up. He saw hearts that were there. I was thinking, it was so precious, the Lord brought me to Joseph's wife, Asenath. That was the sun priest's daughter. You talk about a Gentile. Huh? But you know that God's grace extended, and that woman gave birth to his blessing and to his fruitfulness. My goodness. So to me, brothers and sisters, that's no mystery at all. Amen? Amen. It was always there. Ephesians 3:6 leaves no doubt of what we're going into. The mystery revealed is the proposal of joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. He's going to have a bride. It was in type and shadow all over the place. But it took Paul's gospel. It took the message of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It took the message of, yea, the deep things of God. For that to ever be unfolded and made manifest to us. That's the mystery. The simplicity in that gospel. How wonderful. But the reality of what he's invited us into is amazing. Brothers and sisters, we live in the greatest time, the greatest spiritual opportunity time there's ever been. And yet most are letting it pass them by. Most, again, as we mentioned earlier, are seeking, let's just get along. Let's tread lightly and let's be accepted by all. How many times I hear, and I'm telling you, it is probably the worst words I ever hear, common ground. Common ground. Those are the enemy's words. Please know that. There's no such thing as common ground. It's either holy ground or it's not. It's it. It's either God or it's mammon. It's either or. There isn't any tweener there. And that's the enemy right now, and that's what he's trying to do, is he's trying to get us to compromise and to settle. When the bride, the Lamb's wife, is in the balance, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is the beautiful thing about this letter to Ephesus, brothers and sisters. It has it all. It has God's best wrapped up in it. And what is God's best? It's never changed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh my. I want to just touch on a couple more things. I'm going to skip along. So I'll read my notes and I'll stay with them. There's no coincidence that this letter was written when Paul was under house arrest in Rome. He was under house arrest when he wrote this, okay? He lived in rented quarters, basically, under the Roman guards. He could have visitors. He could have ones bring him the word of God. He could give out the word of God without hindrance, as much as his confinement permitted him. He wasn't chained to a prison cell. That happened later. That's when he wrote those letters to Timothy. But this is what is important to me when I read about that. It's kind of where we're at right now, brothers and sisters. It really is. We live in a time and in a world of it's like under house arrest. You know what I'm saying? We can have visitors. We can have some limited visiting. We can somewhat be unhindered in preaching the gospel. And the message to the Ephesians comes out. And there's ones that want to hear. But how quickly the day is approaching when it's going to be the time of complete confinement to where Paul said, all in Asia have forsaken me. We're almost there. Do you see that crossover's happening right now? All right? And that is the truth. And I think it's exciting. It's important that we're in that high time right now of Paul writing these letters to Ephesus. He wrote to Colossians at this time. I'm talking the highest of watermarks. It's here. We're in these last days. These Philadelphia saints in Ephesus were the most precious to Paul. He ministered to them, you'll read in Acts 19, for over 3 years. Three other New Testament books went to them. I thought this was so precious too. To Ephesus first. First and Second Timothy. And Revelation. If you read there, to the church of Ephesus. Huh? And there's no coincidence. There's no coincidence here. Man always says the stupidest things. I'm sorry, it just is so stupid. You know, we get in seminary and we're going to figure this out. I'll tell you why they did this. Well, you know why they did this was because Ephesus was the center of so much traffic and activity. God knew that that's how it was going to be distributed through there. God could have distributed through anything. God chose on the backside of nowhere to bring his son into a stable. Do you think God was worried or concerned about how he was going to traffic his word? I'm serious. Did you see the stupidity of who God is? It was preached there Because there were those some that would receive it. Paul passed by cities. The Holy Spirit led him. Boy, if there was ever such proof, if you just read the Word of God, that we are not in the kingdom age. I pray I could give every man an answer. But the question better be there before I give him the answer, or I've just thrown my pearl among swine. Oh, what is he saying? I'm saying the Word of God. I want to preach Christ's best. I don't want any error in this to where we finally get to the point where we've left the truth completely, because that's what happens with leaven. Look at these churches that have been started by men and women of great faith. And you see, unfortunately, sometimes handed down to sons and grandsons and things of that nature. Oh, there's big palaces they preach in. But they've pretty much written Ichabod over the door. You recall that, don't you? God won't write Ichabod over this door by His grace. Because there's vessels that He's dwelling in. And dwelling in doctrine in. I want to close with Scripture. And this will be it. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. I hope you come back to another Bible study. I never want to labor you, but I have to give you what the Lord wants to give. I pray you understand. And I would never say I'm sorry, but I don't want to labor you. Acts 20, we'll read from verse 17. Now this is Paul talking about that ministry to the Ephesians and how precious this is. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So he called those elders, those Ephesian elders, to come to him. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting? We've got it all. We have got it all. "But have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how he began. He brought that to them. We started with it. The full counsel of God. Here we come. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." Are we there, brothers and sisters? "So that I might finish my course with joy." Do we see that, brothers and sisters? "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus," that's you, brothers and sisters, "to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record that this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." God help you to be thankful for who you are as you walk out of here tonight. God help you to not murmur one bit. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise." Within the men were arising. Because they didn't want the doctrine. "Speaking what? Perverse things to draw away disciples after them." See, anytime somebody starts to draw somebody to them, you know you got a problem. All we are here to do as ministers is to point you to God. Point you to God. And to the high calling of God in His Son. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you everyone night and day with tears. And here it is. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance, the unsearchable riches of Christ's inheritance among all them which are sanctified, among all them that have it. We're here preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ that Paul has. Yeah. And that's what we're going to dive into by his grace. We're rich. Rich beyond. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you again for inviting us to feast upon your word. We're thankful that there's hearts that want to truly fellowship in even a deeper manner. Thank God that you've drawn us. You've drawn the hearts, Lord. You're opening hearts. Lord, help us to receive that grace and to grow in it and to grow in the love of God. Thank you for people that love you so. Thank you for being patient with us. And God, in that love, may we be patient in the work that you're doing in us. We give you all the praise and thanks and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.